I had an idea for an open as well, and I can't think of it.
Well, that does us a lot of good.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. It's actually bad if you think about it.
Right.
Because we're sitting here trying to think of something funny and coming up snake eyes.
Yes. Can we get started?
You know what? Let's just not do it this week. Let's just go right into the show.
Awesome. That's what I'm talking about.
Welcome to episode 109 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me, as always, is...
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
I think I bumped my mic while I introduced you.
Okay.
So I don't know, don't feel slighted like I didn't give you the full intro.
Should I...
Sorry, man.
...introduce myself again?
Now we know who you are.
Okay.
What's going on, Adam?
Same old, buddy.
Yeah, me too. Let's go have a nap.
I was a single dadding for the last 2 days, so I'm exhausted.
Yeah. That'll do it.
It's tough business.
Speaking of which, a friend of the show, Amber Hughes, had her baby.
Oh, congratulations to Amber. And do baby we know... baby boy, you're going to say that.
Baby boy, yeah. She. You know what the weird part is? She named him Adam.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's for sure named after me.
I'm sure it is. So, okay, she didn't name him Adam.
Okay.
I wonder how far I was going to push that, and then...
I was going to just leave it at that. Just turns out she named it after me.
So was I, and then I thought, 4 seconds is long enough.
Okay.
That's a joke. That's it.
That's the end of the show, everybody. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Yeah. I bought my kid water wings this week.
Oh, great.
Yeah, but I'm torn about it because I'm not a swim teacher expert.
Okay.
So your wife's a lifeguard, right?
Yeah.
Would she tell me to buy water wings?
Our kids both had water wings before they graduated to life jackets, so I think you're okay.
Okay. All right, well that's all. Nothing to do with photos. I was just curious because plus you're a big Hasselhoff fan and
Well, I just thought maybe you snapped a photo of yourself wearing her water wings in the bathtub or something.
No.
All right. No photo stuff. Great.
What did you shoot this week?
Again, I'm kind of coming up empty. Did I shoot? No. I did shoot some pictures after we talked last time. I think I was on last week's episode. I was saying we were going to go. I don't know if it was on the show or not, but I said we were going to go over to a friend's place who have a new baby, newish baby, 6 month old. So we had a kind of a gathering, a brunch gathering, some friends with their baby and all the kids and everything. And it was, I took some photos of their six month old. So that was kind of fun. Something different that I don't do all the time.
And then how did that go?
I think it went well. I got some good pictures. They were happy. And I don't know. It's at that age, it's kind of, I think it's a good age to take pictures of kids around 6 months. This little boy was very interested in what I was doing and staring at the camera and big blue eyes. And he looked like baby, everything that you think that a baby kind of should look like. This little boy, he embodied all that is baby. So, and he had big blue eyes. So I did a couple of those gimmicky shots where I turned him black and white and then just left in the color of his eyes just so it really kind of stood out.
Was he born 6 months ago or 10 years ago?
Both.
Yeah.
Okay. No. So I mean, just a little something different. I did it all with flash flagged, you know, the black foamy thing, and got down nice and close, 85 millimeter for everything, and just got some real close-ups, got a few kind of, you know, further away. But he's lying on his tummy, kind of in the classic soldier position, you know, crawling along the dirt. So he's relatively easy to photograph because he's pressing up quite well, and I could just, you know, just get different shots, and all in, I think, a relatively quick time span. That's it. The end.
Oh, Okay.
That's all I did. That's it for photos. It was that one day, and I kind of made reference to it that this is my photo day. So I took a bunch of photos of somebody else's kids, and then that was pretty much it until today when I did the photo challenge.
That's okay.
So how
I shot
how,
some
how about okay. you?
Oh, let's do that. Let's do it professionally. Okay. I shot some fun stuff with my 17-40.
Okay.
Wide angle lens.
Yeah.
I don't use it very often. I find it's like a specialty sort of lens. Like I always things like it always feels like it's something I go to grab only when I specifically need it for one thing.
Right.
And so I think, you know, I'm going to shoot with it some more because, like, my kid was doing building blocks and all that, and I wanted to shoot some video of her. And I was going to lock it down and just shoot some, you know, of that, but she was running around. So I went to the wide-angle lens so that I could move the camera around without too much bump. Oh, but what do you smooth it? I wanted to smooth the bumps out.
Okay.
Do I start this show again?
Sure.
No, I'm just joking. Anyways, I didn't want it to be all shaky cam, so I wanted to use the wide angle lens. And while I was there, I started just shooting some stills with it too, and kind of liked the result. Like it gives a real different feel to it.
Right.
So I'm going to embrace that more. I'm going to start shooting with my wide stuff more and just really have fun with it.
Now, were you shooting on the 40D or were you shooting on the full frame?
The full frame.
Okay.
Yeah, had it on there for the video, and then started snapping away. So. Yeah,
does the 40, does the 40D do video?
No.
No, it doesn't at all. Okay.
No, that was pre-video for them. So, and it's a great lens. It is an L lens, and just, you know, because I always kind of think of it like it's not the most flattering for people shots because it's, you know, you want to like the 50 mil or the 85 or something longer.
Right.
And but no, it's a good lens. So.
Well, there you go.
Other than that, not much. We'd kind of lousy weather here, so that kind of put me off, and so I didn't really take much of anything.
Well, then we can move on.
Yeah, I will get to the star trails when it gets better outside.
Me too. I can't say enough that I actually want to do this, but we have not seen a clear night here in now 2 weeks. So
yeah,
better challenge for the summer. I think we get clear nights a lot more in the summer.
Yeah, and we've had there were some submissions. People have been doing them.
Good.
Yeah, so that's excellent. Good start. Good start, everybody. And thanks again to Don. So, Exifoku from last week, 108. Right. We were looking for your focal length. Do you remember what it was?
No.
People guessed pretty close.
Okay, what was it?
People were guessing 35 millimeters. You were actually, it was a zoom lens, and so you shot it at, actually it was at 33 mils.
Okay.
So very, very close.
And so that was the lens that you were just playing around with, the 17-40 that I borrowed from Dwayne, who's been on the show before.
Right. Yeah. So what do you think of that lens?
I like it. And just to pump the tires of the 6D, I don't know if I've mentioned this. It makes the correction, the chromatic aberration correction for that lens in camera.
Is that right?
Yeah, for any lens that it recognizes, but Canon lenses, it does. So you don't actually have to correct it. I remember Don talking way back about, you know, doing a software correction for the lens to get rid of, you know, distortion and whatnot. But the camera actually does that already. So it's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so anyway, so I actually thought with the pictures I took of people, I expected the results to look different, and I was like you said, I thought it actually looked pretty good for people.
All right,
but again, I was shooting of myself, and I think I look good. So
that's a good point. Yeah, so you are a little bit biased.
Yeah,
and then the Exifoku for my shot on top of the roof.
Right.
We had a few guesses, and quite a few guesses. People were guessing in around 1/160th of a second, which is basically just below the maximum sync speed.
Yes.
And then a couple of days ago, I posted a hint on our Facebook site and Google Plus saying that, just showing that the test photo I took before I stepped into the shot.
Right.
And hoping that was going to give people a hint. And now that was shot at like 1/100th or 1/160th or something like that. and you can see the very black background.
Okay.
The trees were gone. You couldn't see the sky. It was just me standing in black. And so when I went to take the photo, I decided I wanted to have those trees and the cloudy sky bleed in a little bit so that we could see that it was, in fact, cloudy.
Okay. So what'd you have to drop the shutter speed to?
4 seconds.
Really?
Yeah. True story.
Wow.
So what ended up happening is the flash goes off, and that's what lights me.
Yeah.
And I held very still for the 4 seconds. Well, I didn't. The first time I took the shot, I forgot that it was on 4 seconds. So as soon as the flash went, I started walking. And then realized, oh, I got three more seconds to stand here.
Right.
So I did it again. And four seconds allowed a lot of the trees and the sky to sort of come into the exposure and mix in with the flash.
Okay.
So, yeah, somebody guessed a half second, so somebody got pretty close. But other than that, that was it. That's the eggs of Oku.
You know what? I never think to take a portrait or something like that with a long exposure because I just don't think I can stay still for that long. So I'm going to have to try that because it's one of those things that I just like, usually I always shoot on, you know, close to max sync speed because I don't trust myself to keep my subjects still for that long, mostly because my subjects are the kids and I know they won't stay still for 4 seconds, but yeah,
well,
I should try it anyways.
Well, the cool thing is, if you throw it on a tripod, obviously, which you have to do.
Yeah.
And if it's really dark, then the flash will generally freeze your subject. And you don't have to worry about holding still.
So even if they move a little bit, it'll still appear sharp?
Depends how dark it is.
Okay.
If it's very dark, and if it's on for like a 30-second exposure, then you're going to see some movement, which might actually look pretty cool. But generally, the flash will stop. Stop the movement, and you're good.
Okay, well, I'm going to try it.
Awesome. So, this week's challenge. What was it? Yes. What did I call it? It was balancing flash.
Yeah, it's very confusing to me.
Right. Well, your picture looks good though, so you know you figured it out.
Okay.
It's how to balance the ambient and the flash. You know, because we had questions about this, like people don't know where to start, and so we'll talk about that today. That's the show topic.
It's the challenge and the show topic together.
Yeah, we call that synergy.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. So, let's do yours first.
Okay.
So, the challenge was, you understand the challenge now, right?
Yeah, it's balancing the flash.
Okay. So, I look at yours, and you are, in fact, balancing the flash.
I actually balance the flash. Yeah, no, this was my take on a picture within a picture. Mm-hmm. A challenge within a challenge.
Very meta. Looks great.
Yeah. No, as soon as you said it, I thought, okay, I'm going to have to balance the actual flash because then if I completely fall flat on your intentions behind the actual challenge, you can't say that I didn't balance the flash.
That's true. So, that's good.
So I think I win double because I think in my head I did what the intention of the challenge was, even if I wasn't literally balancing a flash.
I think you're correct. So I like your photo too because you look like minus the background, this is your Vegas billboard.
Oh, totally! I thought the same thing. I thought, this is I'm a magician here.
Oh, absolutely!
Yeah.
I wouldn't say you're one of the high end casinos. You're probably more off the strip, or probably doing street magic.
I definitely street magic.
Sleight of hand out in front of the drugstore.
Right.
But, other than, for that, I don't know. Do those guys have billboards? I'm not sure.
they have pin-up paper on telephone poles.
Yeah, that's what Vegas needs, by the way, is more people handing out little flyers. Like, wow, really? You got to carry a backpack with you.
Yeah.
So, anyways, it looks good. What's going on here? You got how many flashes are lighting the shot?
Just one. So one flash lighting the shot. So okay. We got some late afternoon, early evening magic hour going on. So that's the key light. So that's all on camera left here is all, the warm light of the sun getting low in the sky.
Okay.
And then on camera right You've got a camera in a bounce umbrella that's lighting me on the other side to kind of, you know, keep from the heavy contrast.
Okay.
And that's it. That's it. And then obviously me holding a third flash as a prop.
Oh, so there are two flashes.
Sorry. No, I lied. Sorry. You have me holding a second flash. There's only two flashes. Yeah. Whew. One not on.
Because I'll be honest, I wasn't listening. And so then I got really confused.
End. No, I confused myself. So.
Great. But it is balancing. It also, the light levels are balanced nicely between the subject and the background.
Well, there you go.
So we're gonna do the Exivoku on this. I haven't really looked at the numbers, so we're gonna have to decide. The flash makes it confusing, so we're gonna have to decide on. Let's go focal length again.
Okay.
For yours and mine. So let's give out the rest of the details. Exposure time 1/160th of a second. Right. It is lit by flash, so ignore that. ISO 320.
Okay.
At an f/8. That's yours. And so we want to know what the focal length is.
There you go. Okay, great. Okay.
All right, let's go over to mine.
Okay.
This is my kid again.
Right.
Who you can hear in the background screaming, actually.
She wants to be part of this. She heard her name.
She does want to be part of this, actually. That's what she's trying to do. So, no, the other day we were doing math, and that's why she has the consternated look on her face here.
Okay.
Just really confused. And we were doing long division. That was fine. And then we got to repeating fractions, and she was having a little bit of trouble. So that's why she was so confused.
Okay.
I was thinking when you're talking about taking pictures of the 6-month-old, how easy it was. My kid's starting to hit that age where she's not as easy.
Right.
Where she doesn't like to hold still as much. So this was her not cooperating, but we happened to be in the living room, and great light was coming in. We had some nice sun that day, and some late afternoon sun was streaming in and hitting the back wall. And I thought, well, this would be a good opportunity to balance the flash.
Yeah, because you get just a great background with that light coming off the wall. This is, again, we have a similar colored wall. I'm guessing that's a little bit of a beige wall, that wall.
We're in Germany, man. That's white.
Oh, really? Because it kind of has a beige tinge, but that might just be how you color balanced, right?
Could be. Yeah, okay. Yes, it is. I had to I had to mix for the flash and the warm daylight. Like, it was kind of a yellowy daylight because it was late in the evening.
Yeah.
Or late in the afternoon, I mean. So it, it's kind of had to pick a middle point to get a good skin tone.
But I see that kind of light on our walls all the time, and I love it. I love to shoot with that as the backdrop. It looks great.
So, and she is lit almost entirely by flash.
Okay.
So what I did I actually, we'll talk about more in, you know, during the topic part of this, but I basically flagged it off. There was sunlight hitting her directly, but I pulled the blinds on her. Just because it was, you know, such harsh light, this way I could even it out and then add the flash to light her as I pleased.
Yeah, it looks really good. The only critique I have, which really isn't a critique, but for you I know it's a little bit of a sore spot, is that the catch light in her left eye just is almost not there. And I know how you like, and the catch light in her right eye is so, you know, dominant that. You know, if that was a little more visible, I just think her eyes would have popped even more.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it, though. The rest, I love it. It actually doesn't look flash at all.
Right. And this is on-camera flash. This is bounced.
Yeah. No, I would have just thought it was all window light based on the light coming in behind her.
Well, that was the plan.
Yeah. Balance good, it out. Good balancing.
Whew. All right. Now my Exivoku, I gotta bring that info up, so... Why don't you do a little dance for us?
Okay.
While I track that down.
I'm just tapping my foot count underneath my table here.
Oh, I think so. Okay. I think that should do it. Okay, we're looking for the focal length again.
Yes.
And again, there's on-camera flash, so ignore that. Don't worry about the flash. I shot shutter speed of 1/200th.
Okay.
At f/5.6, and the ISO is 320. So there you go. What's the focal length on this one to make it look like that? That's what we want to know.
Okay.
All right. Moving on to the topic.
Well, didn't we just cover it? We're good now, right?
Yeah, but do we talk about how to do it?
Well, I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Okay, well, I'm going to explain it anyway. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
And the best part is, if you screw up explaining something that's self-explanatory, you're not that smart.
Well, okay. I can't explain it, so you're going to have to.
Okay, so when you're going to go to make a shot like this, for instance, the shot of my kid there, where do you start? That's what people don't always know what to do, is where do you start? Where would you start on that?
I would start with where you want the exposure to be on that light off the back wall.
Start with the background. Start with the ambient light.
Right.
I shouldn't call it background, because your background might be what you're lighting.
Right.
Start with your ambient light, because for the most part, you can't control it.
Right.
Ish. You sort of can, but you normally can't control it quickly. Like, you're not going to throw up a whole bunch of flags or silks or stuff like that to knock it down. You generally control it with your camera.
Right.
So what I do is, first of all, I shoot on manual. You can probably shoot this on AV, but I almost always shoot on manual as it is. And in this case, when I know I'm going to be balancing ambient and flash, I absolutely positively shoot on manual. It just takes a lot of the moving parts out of the equation.
Okay.
So what I do is I start and I get my exposure for the ambient, and I make that my baseline. That's where I'm going to start.
Okay.
Now, you know ahead of time that you're going to add flash. Therefore, you must constrain your parameters. That sounds a fancy way of me saying, remember, you have to think about your sync speed.
Yes.
So there's no point in going and setting your background exposure at 1/1000th of a second if you're then just going to add flash.
Unless you're high-speed syncing it.
There's all that, but if you're probably not going to be doing a lot of bouncing on high-speed sync.
Correct.
So in this case, I'm assuming you're bouncing, because yes, it's very difficult to blend direct on-camera flash with a background and make it look good. It's tough to do.
Okay.
Okay, so now you got that. You have your exposure set. You know what it's going to be. Now you got to place your subject. Now, hopefully, you're choosing your background with the idea of where your subject will be.
Okay.
Because you don't want, in this case, you don't want your subject to be lighter than your background, because then flash isn't really going to help you too much.
Right.
So if there's direct sun hitting your subject at the same time, or a light or something like that, you're out of luck. So generally, you're going to want to find a spot that is darker so that you can control the light on your subject.
Okay.
So in this case, maybe you want to flag off the light that's hitting your subject. So if you have a room with three windows in it, leave two of the blinds open and then pull one set that's going to fall, pull one set of where the light would fall on your subject and flag them off. That makes sense? That sounds like a long way to go.
I don't know. I tuned out about 3 minutes ago.
Hard to blame you. All right, so long story short, your subject should be darker than your background. All right.
Okay.
That way you can add the flash to your taste. All right.
Great.
Now, get your frame. Decide on your frame, frame up your shot. I'm trying to think of six different ways to say it, but that's all you need to know is frame up your shot and fire some test shots without the flash.
Okay.
Fire away. Make sure you're getting what you're looking for. And think, okay, that's where I want the person to be, or the whatever the subject is, let's call it a person. Great. Your subject should be dark. It should look like your flash forgot to fire, and the background looks great, and the foreground looks terrible. That's the plan.
Okay.
Now add the flash. Now you can do this, via ETTL if you want. This could be, a manual flash or ETTL. It doesn't matter. You still there?
I gotcha. Yeah.
Okay. So on camera or off camera? It doesn't matter. You did yours was off camera, correct?
Yes.
So mine was on camera, but it was bounced. So it doesn't. This part doesn't really matter. I mean, this kind of goes back to all of our past shows about Flash. If you want to go back and have a listen on how to actually use the Flash, this is how you apply it.
Okay, I'm actually listening to episode 102 right now.
but not of our show. It's some old Seinfeld episodes. So if you're going to use ETTL, now you're going to use the flash exposure compensation.
Okay.
So first of all, when I go take this shot, like I took the shot of my daughter, I leave the flash exposure at zero, right in the middle. So I take my shot and then I adjust accordingly. So I'll take a quick look on the LCD screen and ride that flash exposure compensation to get exactly the output I want.
I'm still with you. I got you.
So far, so good.
Yep.
Now, hopefully, the flash is going to remain off of your background.
Yes.
Because if you've exposed for that background, now all of a sudden your flash is hitting it, well, guess what? It's going to be off. So hopefully you've done that. Now, distance helps. So if you have a very, you know, obviously if you're outside, like in your case, the flash was not going to light up the background at all.
Yeah, I didn't ever have to worry about that.
Now mine, I kind of had to think about that, so I had to be careful of where I was bouncing it, like how what angle I was bouncing the light to keep it from hitting the background. So there's that. So if you want to do it manually, well, it's just simply a matter of dialing in the power that you want to get your balance.
Just trial and error.
Right. So that's how to do it. Now, how do we decide on the ratio of ambient to flash? Like, how do you decide on what that should look like?
I think it's just season to taste.
It's very simple. It's you take the square root of your flash power, divided by the distance to subject, and multiply by pi.
I just got hungry.
Well, hang on. Here's where the tip is good. Is instead of using pi, I just use 22 over 7, and that way I can just do it in my head. Okay, there's no formula for this. It's you're right the first time. It's completely artistic choice. So, you know, what are the three different options here in terms of ratios?
Well, I guess you can I'm not sure what you mean in terms of ratios. I was just thinking when I did this, I basically, you know, change the aperture value up and down, you know, a third of a stop up to a full stop. And then I also changed flash power slightly in thirds of a stop. So I think I covered kind of like, you know, basically a full stop, brighter and darker, just to see what I liked in terms of the balance. So I just took probably 8 shots and just chose the one that I was happiest with.
Okay. But ignoring numbers and aperture and all that stuff for now.
Okay.
There's basically three different ways you can blend the flash.
Okay, you tell me what the numbers are.
No numbers.
Okay, tell me what the ratios are.
22 over 7.
Okay.
we can have the background be darker than our subject.
Oh, I see where you're going. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
We could have the background lighter.
Okay.
Or right in the middle. We can have it balanced perfectly.
Okay.
Okay. So if you're going to have the background be darker, let's say, that's a good way to separate your subject from the background. Okay. And in fact, it's probably the most common method, the most common choice artistically is to underexpose the background so that your subject pops out.
Okay.
So you see a lot of this, and generally, I would look at it and expose probably one stop under, which is, looking back on your photos, probably close to what you did.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Okay, so so if you're going to go, if I'm going to go and take that shot that you did, I'm going to basically go and dial in my background exposure. I'm going to take a reading, find out what it normally is, and then underexpose by one stop.
Yeah.
So that part is numbers. That one's very simple. That's 3 clicks, boom, 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 you're done. Lock it down. Then you add the flash.
Right.
Okay, so that's one way to do it, and that's oftentimes how I do my own shots. Sometimes it looks awesome when you do this.
Okay.
You can make the background lighter. Well, when would you want to do that?
Maybe if you have a darker subject that you're shooting.
Yeah, it tends to look really sort of dreamy looking. So I think, you know, I think it's basically every movie since 1950 that was set in heaven, for example.
Okay.
It's always lit like that.
Yeah.
The white, the blown out background, or the really bright background coming in, or ads for, a lot of ads are shot like that, like print ads. So that's one example, but one very common use is when you like you're shooting inside, but you see windows on a bright day, like you see windows in the shot.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to balance a photograph of somebody inside with outside light being visible, instinct often tells us to correctly expose outside,
right,
and then add the flash to make them to balance them out. Don't do that.
Okay.
Those pictures scream fake to me. Like they just look. They don't look. They like you know they're not. You know something's going on.
Right.
So I tend to overexpose the outside by one or two stops. Usually two stops, and I don't mind blowing it out a little bit. And then lighting your subject because it tends to look a little more honest. Now, it's not quite honest because normally the difference between inside and outside, it could be five stops.
Right.
But your camera's not going to see that. So what's the point? You're going to end up getting a silhouette and, you know, blown out windows. But if we can take that using our flash and take that difference and shrink it down to two stops, it's going to look a lot more natural to our eye.
Okay.
So that's what I end up doing is overexposing slightly. That's one situation where I would make the background lighter. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, no, I have. But my instinct usually is when I'm outside is to definitely go either, you know, two thirds under or a full stop under just to bring up, you know, the saturation and the colors of, you know, trees and sky and whatnot. So most of the time when I do this, I generally, when I would do this is I'm thinking outside. When I'm inside and I'm just taking pictures of the kids or whatever running around, usually my move is to just bounce the flash off the ceiling with ETTL. And I'm not generally thinking it through as in such an elaborate way. But when I'm taking a group shot, for example, of a family shot or something outside, I'm definitely working it through this way.
So when you're shooting, you know, just your kids running around the house inside, you aren't even really balancing light, are you? Are you balancing with any ambient?
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes I am, but a lot of times I'm not because it's, you know, relatively dark. And right. I'm almost entirely lighting it with flash.
And plus, inside, when you have a relatively small room, the flash does bounce around enough that it kind of fills in the shadows. Yeah,
exactly.
And I don't just mean the shadows of your subject, but also in the room too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You want to fill in those corners, and it's nice to be able to do it in an interesting way, so it looks, you know, like it's directional light, like it's got some motivation to it. I don't like to just when everything is just nuked and everything's flat and filled.
Right.
But with the bounce flash, it does a pretty good job of that. So the last situation is you want to balance the flash and the ambient perfectly.
Okay.
So that the flash is invisible.
Right.
This is generally my goal. This is how I try to take my pictures. Now the method's still the same is you set the background exposure, the ambient exposure first, and then add the flash on it. But like with the picture of my daughter, I made sure that she was dark and added that in, and I dialed it in so that it would look as if it was actual existing light.
Right.
Yet if it was actual existing light, it would have been horrible. that the light that was coming in would have been really ugly, would have kind of washed out her face a little bit. It was not flattering light. So I did need the flash to make that happen. And sometimes you're in a situation where, you know, you don't even have the option of ambient light for your subject anyways. So you absolutely have to use the flash.
Right.
And so in those situations, that's when I do it. So how do you go about doing that? Like getting it to be dialed in?
You mean in terms of the flash intensity?
Yeah. Well, all of it. Like this is actually a little more tricky than you think it is. Mm. Not you, but trickier than one thinks it is.
Okay. Well, why don't you just explain it to me then? I again, in my head, I think all I do is I start with the background and where, what kind of depth of field I want. So again, I'm just kind of going through in my head, just starting from the beginning. If I think I'm going to need, you know, off camera flash, then I'm already, like you say, I'm already looking at a shutter speed of, you know, on my camera, 1/180th of a second. So that already that sort of restricts me in some regard, because then I have to ultimately change my aperture, right? Mm-hmm. And my ISO to kind of, you know, work with that parameter of 1/180th of a second. So if I'm outside and depending on the amount of light, you know, the way it wound up with my picture is I started with the max sync speed, right? Just to give myself as much wiggle room as I could have. Mm-hmm. And then I basically went from there. I tried to choose the lowest ISO that I could, just so that I'd lose any potential grain. And I know I'm probably not going to get much until I go much higher, but I went with the lowest ISO number I could. And then after that, I sort of looked at, okay, well, what sort of depth of field do I want? And really, that was almost chosen for me in this case because of the other parameters that I already wanted, right?
Right.
So and that's basically how I worked it through.
Well, with yours, you could have gone to ISO 100 and opened up more if you wanted.
Yeah, I could. You're absolutely right. I could have done that.
Okay, so the best way to work quickly on this is something we talked about a few episodes ago about working in, I forget what it was called, when we talked about working in the middle.
Yeah.
About going, now, if you want to work quickly and use, like, you know, say, an on-camera bounce flash, or on-camera flash, well, or off-camera, let's not limit ourselves, any flash, and you want to work quickly to sort of make adjustments on the exposure, the combination of the two, give yourself some wiggle room. So you don't start directly at the maximum sync speed unless you have to.
Okay.
There are reasons that you have to. Now, I did. I'm going to go ahead and give this advice, and yet I didn't do it myself. But let's say you can start at, say, 1/100th.
Okay.
Now you have wiggle room. You can go a third of a stop either direction. So if you're set up shot, you're ready to go, you take your first test shot and think, oh man, I would like the background to be slightly darker without affecting the flash. My subject is fine, but I want the background to be slightly darker so it matches.
Okay.
That's a one click, a third of a stop on your shutter speed to make it to go to 1/125th instead of 1/100th.
Right.
That will knock down a third of a stop of light from your ambient, but not your flash.
Okay.
So that's a great way to kind of to blend it in. So that's what I do, is I get my image very, very close, and then I adjust it by simple clicks.
And I did that without ever really thinking it through like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly what I did. I just, you know, knew that. And we talked about this way back in an early episode about, you know, more or less the shutter speed controlling the ambient and the aperture controlling the flash, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's exactly what I did to just go up and down on the ambient, was just adjust my shutter by a third of a stop either way.
So for the most part, had you just opened up the shutter speed to 1/60th of a second, now you might ended up, you know, exposing yourself, because you do have ambient light hitting you.
Yes.
But like if I did that with say the picture of my daughter, it likely wouldn't affect her very much.
Right.
She would still be dark, and the background would get really, really bright really quickly. So that's a great way to get three different looks all in the same setup.
Right.
So if you have it proper, the background properly exposed at 1/100th, quickly take snap off a shot at 1/60th of a second, and then 1/200th, and you're going to see three very different looking shots.
Okay.
So that's a good way to do it. So that's how you blend the flash and the ambient. Any questions? Did I fail at explaining something that's self-explanatory?
Yeah, I'm more confused now than before we did this episode.
Okay, is that true?
No.
Okay. Because let me go through it again.
Yeah, let's just hit it one more time.
Okay, start with the ambient. That's all. If that's the one takeaway. Honestly, in all, I'm not going to repeat the whole thing. I'm just joking. I know what you thought. Oh, no, what have I started? Start with the ambient. That's your big takeaway.
Okay. I got you.
Great. Next week's challenge. You got one? Because I do.
No. Oh, no, I don't. So go ahead.
Okay, so next week, I believe the plan is we're going to do a show about how to group photos.
Okay.
We've already done two photo challenges for group photos.
Okay.
So we're not doing that.
Great.
You know what we are going to do for a photo challenge?
I can't guess.
Coming up, the following episode, we have a bit of a roadmap on this one.
Okay.
Right, so do you know what's coming up the following episode?
No.
Dwayne's coming back.
Okay.
And he's going to talk a little bit about posing and how to pose your subjects.
Okay.
I'll say models, but who are we kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that in mind, I want you to take a sort of a posed shot, except for something very specific, and you're going to have fun with it.
Okay.
Hollywood headshot.
I don't even know what that means, but I'm going to look it up.
Well, I don't know if that's even a word. I just wanted to say Hollywood in there.
Okay.
But you know how actors have their headshots?
Right.
That they hand out? Well, you can Google it and see. So, yeah, take someone's Hollywood headshot.
I'm going to do it.
Doesn't have to be an actor, of course. Could be anybody.
Okay.
Guess, yeah, spoiler alert, it's going to be your wife. But
or one of my kids.
Yeah, one of your kids. Most likely. Although, you know what? This the reason I bring this up, not the reason I bring this up, but this is the greatest birthday present you can give somebody.
A Hollywood headshot?
Or just yourself. A headshot of yourself. Because you get to be, you know, when you get to be our age, I don't know, birthdays for each other, who cares? Like, you go over and maybe have a party, have dinner, and, you know, it's all about being with your friends. It's not like you're buying them presents, right?
Yeah.
But you show up at a party with a framed, you can buy a cheap IKEA clip frame for like $2 or something.
Yeah.
I've done this many times. Well, I don't know how many is. I've done it a few times.
Yeah.
Taking a really cheesy looking headshot, signed it to the person.
Yes.
Best wishes, keep chasing your dreams, something awful like that.
Yeah.
And sign it, put it in the clip frame, and give it to them in front of everybody. But don't laugh.
Is it black and white?
Oh, well, it doesn't have to be, but the ones I do are.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, that's the greatest gift you can give somebody, because you are such a jerk. Just because if especially if there's people at the party who don't really know you,
yeah,
you come off so arrogant. It is awesome.
Great.
So do it. I recommend that, taking a picture of yourself, not for the photo challenge. Don't take a picture of yourself.
Oh, all right.
You can, but guess what? You're gonna look like a. That's it.
Well, 2 weeks in a row, my photo challenge is a picture of myself. So
I know.
What does that say about me?
Well, let's go for the hat trick. Yeah. All right, I'm going to go.
All right.
Where can people see your photos?
Facebook.
And
my wife's blog, schwartzchronicles.com. She has been posting more regularly again. So
okay.
Few pictures up there, but I'm going to put some of my photo challenge outtakes on Facebook. So there's that.
Good. Look forward to seeing that.
How about your stuff?
You can find my stuff at alanattridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find Google+. You can find the Facebook, the Twitter, whatever you want. So that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.